The Gospels are about good news. Good news. When Scripture uses the word gospel, euangelizo is the Greek word for it. Eu means good. Angelizo is where we get the word angel or messenger. Good message. What is the good message? Well, he's not just simply talking about the fact that it's a message that makes me feel good. He's talking about it's a message that is virtuous as well. And what is the beneficial messages that we see in the four Gospels? Well, the first is clear, that God is a loving God and begins with standards that are absolute, that are true. There's something you can hang your hat on, an anchor for your soul. How confusing it must be for certain households to have no sense of right and wrong, and how treacherous it is to the family members. You go into the Gospel of Mark, and I've got good news for you. We have a servant, and he'll show you how to be one. Man has his own ideas of what it means to serve, but get in the Gospel of Mark. He'll show you. And God calls us as heads of house to be leaders. He calls upon us to establish absolutes within our homes, right and wrong. He calls upon us to serve and to be the servant within our household. He also calls upon us to be chivalrous, to see the needs around us and to minister to those that are in need and to demonstrate that even to our family as they begin to see us reaching out to those that are broken, those that have a contrite spirit, and those that are desirous of changing. God says, reach out to them. Don't let them go. And we begin to reach out. It's the example that allures us, that beckons us to follow. And why is it the disciples stuck with him? Well, Peter says, where else can we go? You alone have the words to life. But I think he was not only saying words of life, but the way of life. And as Jesus would say, I am the way, the truth, the life. So as we come to the Gospel of John, it's only appropriate that we understand now, and it really has a culminating effect, that that relationship is that which is paramount within our household. There has to be an intimacy, there has to be a relationship, there has to be a contact. And what is the great miracle, and I would say the great news of the Gospel of John, is that the creator of the universe, think about this, wants to come to your house. And, as it starts off, in the beginning was the Word was with God, the Word was God, all things were made by him. I mean, that's how John starts off. He doesn't start off like a babe in a manger. He says, this is the creator. And the Word becomes flesh, and he wants to dwell with you. And one of the first scenes that you see in chapter 1 of the Gospel is, the disciples, John the Baptist goes, there's the guy, there's the Lamb that's going to take away the sins of the world. And they run up to him and they go, so you're here. And he goes, okay, so what are you seeking? And they go, well, where are you staying? And he goes, well, come and see. And we get this interesting picture of them coming to his house. And the very next picture we have in the Gospel of John in chapter 2 is he goes to a wedding with his mother. And when everybody else is thinking about taking advantage of people, Jesus comes and he goes, we're not going to take advantage of these people. And his mother sees that as well, and she beckons him. Let's not let these people go without. We realize that the religious institutions of the world only care for themselves and only try to take advantage of people. And that's why the Gospel of John ends there in chapter 2 with Jesus going to the temple, turning over the money tables and rebuking them. We're going, why did that happen? Because the religious people were taking advantage of the poor. The religious people were taking advantage of those that were part of their body, where they should have been. He says, this should be a house of prayer. You should be helping them. My father wanted this to be a place where you actually interceded for them. You're taking advantage of them. And you can see the passion of Christ. Not only the intimacy and the desire to be intimate, come to my house, but the fact that he feels very passionate about people taking advantage of the people that he loves. In almost every case throughout this gospel, you'll see very little of Jesus being with groups, and you'll see him being with individuals. So whether it's Nicodemus in chapter 3, or whether it's chapter 4, you're dealing with the woman at the well, or whether in chapter 5, the man by the pool of Bethesda. In every case, you're seeing Jesus in a one-on-one position for the most part in the Gospel of John. What you're seeing is kind of intimacy. And what is also interesting is the dialogue that goes back and forth and the interest that he has in the different ones and the time that he spends listening to them and caring for them. This is what he begins to convey to them. And I've oftentimes thought it's interesting, too, that by the time you come to chapter 15, you know, he's turning to his disciples and he goes, you know what I would like you to do? I'd like you to stay with me. You know, in our homes, a lot of times we get so busy in doing the things that we do that we don't stop and say, you know what, I like being with you. And chapter 17, of course, is that wonderful picture of Christ praying to his Father. And Father, you know how much I love you. And my disciples have seen how much I love you and how much I love them and how much you love them. And I just want them to be with us. And you can hear that. When's the last time you said to the person in your house, you know, I just like being with you? You can hear the genuineness all through this, but it really is a gospel of love. And it's the reason why in the Gospel of John, we have that wonderful verse, for God so loved the world that he gave his son. This is the love of God. And it'll be John that leans against Jesus because he's wanting to tell us that there's a personal relationship that you and I can have. And we can feel the intimacy, but not only the intimacy, but the tenderness that he has, and he demonstrates that in very tangible ways. In particular, if I could just have you turn with me to John chapter 13. And if you look with me in John chapter 13, you're taken back by the way that Jesus conveys his love. You're familiar with the story. We won't go into the detail of reading everything within the passage. But there's one that's betraying him. Nevertheless, he gets his foot washed too. And you see Jesus, you know, bending down and washing their feet and embracing them. And I can just imagine the tenderness that they must have felt. Of course, Peter's going, I can't let you do this. I can't let you do this. And he goes, I've got to do this. You've got to see this. There's something I think sometimes uncomfortable about showing affection. And in showing affection, I think sometimes getting that close and personal is uncomfortable. Nevertheless, Jesus does it. And I would say to you husbands, there are times that you're going to be able to minister in such a way that your wife needs to feel your touch, and she needs to sense that I think he really does care for me. In this interesting picture, he closes with, okay, I'm teaching you this thing. You're seeing how much I love you. What do you think I want you to do? And if you look, it ends this way in verse 12. And so when he had washed their feet, he takes his garments, reclines at the table again, and said, do you know what I've done? You call me teacher and Lord. You're right. If I then, the Lord and your teacher, washed your feet, you know, I think we would oftentimes take advantage of, I did something for you. I've got a list of things for you to do for me. And the list that we would have wouldn't be to help somebody else. One of the greatest compliments I have found that my wife can give me is to minister to other people. I can't say that I was always there. But that's my desire now. God so changed my heart. Because I've been touched by His love and His care for me. And I know how much. And you begin to see all the people out there that are in such need. And in many respects, what we're doing in the household, guys, is we're ministering in such a way that it inspires them to minister to. And we're working together for the Lord. The one thing that you see throughout the Gospel of John being repeated over and over again is the relationship that Jesus has with His Father. And in John chapter 5, it's very clear. I'm going to do everything my Father wants me to do. That's my heart. That's what I want to do. So by the time you come to the prayer in John 17, you realize, I came here to glorify You. I came here that they may see the love that we have, and they may embrace that. And you see how that begins to catch, you know. Guys, you've got to love God with all your heart. I mean, in this is love, not that we loved Him, but that He loved us, right? And gave Himself for us. So I've got to love God with all my heart. And in loving God with all my heart, it should spill over in my demonstration towards my wife. And I'm not anymore doing what I do for her to give back to me. I'm doing what I'm doing in my hopes that she'll fall in love not only with the Savior, but the way He thinks. And I'm passing on in my household a way of life. See, that's what the Gospels are. We're being changed. We're being conformed into the image of God. And guess who has to take the lead in this? See? I mean, we like to talk about the fact, well, the husband's the head of the house. Yeah, but that what that means is you're setting the standards. What it means is that you're emphasizing in the standards the heart above all other things. And what it means is that you're doing more serving than everybody else in the home. That you're the one that is acting in chivalry. That you're the one that is demonstrating the love. You're the one that's bringing up, well, my wife hasn't told me that she loves me. Yeah, but that's your job. You begin to set the stage of what love is. Believe me, she'll catch on. Everybody's waiting for everybody else. Who's supposed to be leading? I think the Bible's really clear on this. And that's one of the reasons why I wanted you to think through the Gospels. In fact, my hope is that every time you think through the Gospels, you see the uniqueness of each Gospel, and that it would inspire you to be like Christ in a very unique way. But they're all part of the Gospel, right? So they all have to be a part of us. Sonny, I'm going to have you close us in this last song. It's always been a song that touches my heart because it reminds me of the deep love of God. And hard to think of anything more grand than His love for us.